As we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that he has given us, it is truly, truly a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day.
Amen.
So many did not arise this morning to experience what we are experiencing right now.
Amen.
And that is an opportunity to come before God and to worship him in spirit and in truth. This is the second day of the new year, 2022. And as many have done in times past and many have done on this year, they have made a new year's resolution. Today is the second, and so many have already failed. So many have already failed. I want to say it's a cry and shame, but as Anita and I have been told in times past, do not cry over spilled milk. You know, we make so many promises to do so many different things. Brother Brian and I were texting back and forth on this past week, and he was a little bit disappointed because he didn't have the opportunity to preach this morning. And that's a good thing, brother, to want to get up in the pulpit and to proclaim God's word. And I know he didn't want me to share that, but I'm sharing it anyway. You know, I don't have a problem with calling your name. But to have men as Brother Brian, Brother Glenn, Brother Gary, Brother Mark, Brother Malachi, and all the rest, there he is back there, brother, my good friend back there, wave your hand if you would. Yeah, there you go. Brother Robert, and I know I missed somebody. To get up and to proclaim God's word when they are called upon, because that's what God wants us to do.
Amen.
He wants us to be ready to answer the gospel call. He wants us to be ready to answer the opportunity to proclaim God's word. I had a dear friend who died back in 2013. His wife would always say that he and I both were the same, that we could not pass a pulpit without getting behind it. And I consider that as an honor, to get up and to talk to people about God's word. A lot of times you may feel as though I am hollering at you, I am fussing at you, but I'm just being me. You know, as some would say, keeping it real. Letting you know that God desires each one of us to do what is right. To look in his word and to find the things that we need to straighten out.
Amen.
To continue to do the things that are right. And we need to do that each and every day. Let's not be, you know, half-stepping. Let's always put forth 100% effort to do what is right before God. On this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject of the greatest event. Greatest event. We have signed up for so many different things, so many different races, so many different cooking competitions, just whatever. We have signed up for those things. Well, if you're here this morning and you are a child of God, you have signed up for the greatest event. And that is to be able to run in a race in order to get to heaven. To be around the throne throughout all eternity, worshiping our God. If you're not one of his children, then what God are you worshiping? What God are you worshiping? What idol are you worshiping? What have you put before the Almighty, the living God, the one that can destroy both soul and body in hell, or body and soul in hell? Who are you worshiping? Who are you serving? The greatest event. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples. They are sad. They're sad because their friend, their leader, their mentor is getting ready to leave them. They don't quite understand all the ins and the outs. But Jesus tells them something that is very important. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go in to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, I want us to take note of that. As Jesus told them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, I want to go back and I want to talk about the many races again that we have signed up for. The individuals that we were in competition against. And I want you to think back of the times in which you entered that race and you wanted to give up. You wanted to give up for several different reasons. Maybe it was a race that was too hard for you. Maybe it was a race that you thought that you had no chance under the heavens to win. Maybe you were just tired of running. Who knows? Now, I've told you the story about the time where my track coach told me that I was going to run the 800 meters. I wasn't an 800 meter man. I was a 400 meter man. I could run the 400 just as well as the next man. And I've, you know, participated in events where I've actually won those events. And then I participated in events where I've lost. Well, I got out there and I began to run that 800 meters after I told the coach I wasn't going to do it. And he said, "Yes, you are." And I said, "Well, I can show you better than I can tell you." And I got out there and I ran that 400 meters because that was who I was. I was a 400 meter man. I wanted to prove to him that's who I was. And I ran that 400 meters all out. And we got to that second lap. And I gave out. I gave out to the extent of letting the biggest person that was out there on that track pass me up. I'm not saying that big people can't run. But I know very well that this individual should not have been able to outrun me on that day. But I had something to prove to the track coach. I put my hands on my hips and I ran. Well, actually, I was walking by this time. And I finished dead last. And when I crossed that finish line, now I want you to understand something. I crossed the finish line because I did not quit. He looked at me and said, "Get on the bus." And you know what I did? I got on the bus. You think he put me back in that 800 meters again? No, he did not. He did not want to be embarrassed. I didn't mind being embarrassed, but he did not want to be embarrassed. Now, I can tell you many other stories about some of the events that I participated in, and we, East and West, we were competing for last place in many of these events. I want you to know that the race that we're in today, this Christian race, we're not in competition with one another. We're not trying to outdo one another. God is looking at us and seeing what we have in us. He wants us to finish this race, and we're going to finish this race together if we finish. But it's every man for himself. And I want you to understand that. It's every man for himself. That is the reason why I holler at you. That is the reason why sometimes I may be disappointed in you. That is the reason why sometimes I pray with you. I listen to you. Because it's your race. And I want you to do your very best, because that's what God desires of us. To do our very best. Now, Jesus could have been very well mad at his disciples for not understanding why he had to go away. But he explained to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." See, Jesus had something that he had to do. First off, he had to be born. Remember that. Second, he had to live. Remember that. Thirdly, he had to die. And then he had to be raised again in order to go to this place in which he was talking to his disciples about to prepare for them. You know, there he's going to be on that last day, interceding for us, being that go-between. Oh, Father, this is one of ours right here. Let him in. Don't know him. Don't know him. Don't let him in. Well, what's going to be said about you on that last day? Well, I want you to think about something as we answer that question. What is going to be said about us on that last day? How are you running? How are you running? You know, again, I like messing with people. I'm not going to call any names on this one, but I was standing there talking with someone and someone came down the aisle and they were moving. I said, man, that just, you know, puts a little bit of, you know, that topping on my lesson to see this individual rushing down the aisle to get to their seat. Not because they didn't have a problem with talking to anybody, not that because they were late. They were right on time, but they were moving with a purpose. Now I ask you this morning, how are you running? Who had to wake you up more than one time on this morning? Who had to threaten you this morning to get yourselves in gear? To move with a purpose. Again, we always go back and say, it wasn't that alarm clock that woke me up. It was God. Well, how many times did he have to tell you to get out of that bed? How many times did he have to tell you to prepare your minds to come together to worship him in spirit and in truth? How many times did he have to remind you that he is God and that we should do the things that are right before him? See, we should be excited about coming together to worship him. We should be, especially here, because what we only come together for what? 1 hour? 5 minutes, maybe over that hour, or 10 minutes, and if I go 15, I'm in trouble. But you know, this morning is one of those mornings, and I'm going to say, like some preachers say, I'm not going to be long. And y'all know very well when a preacher says that he's going to be long. But I'm not going to take up a whole lot of your time this morning, but I do want to take up some of your time. I do want to take up enough of your time to ask you again, how are you running? Are you running focused on Jesus? Think about it. Are you running focused on Jesus? And if you're not focused on him, who are you focused on? What are you focused on? Now we can talk about some focusing. Some individuals that were supposed to be doing what Jesus had told them to do and they lost focus. But I want you to think about self this morning. How are you focused? The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, therefore since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We have to put away some things. We have to put aside some things. But I want you to understand something. That when you put those things away, when you set those things aside, you're not putting them away nor setting them aside in order to go back and pick them up later once you think that you're finished. Because let me let you know when you're going to finish this race. You're going to finish this race at death. So leave those things there. You know, we see people training sometimes, you know, for boxing matches or for some wrestling match. And they're trying to get to a certain weight or even bodybuilding. They're trying to get to a certain weight. So sometimes they have to put on weight. And then sometimes they have to put off weight. It fluctuates. See, even when people make different movies, you know, they need to buff up for this movie, or they need to get big for this movie, or they need to get little for this movie. See, the things that we need to set aside, the things that are clinging to us, we set those things aside. We put those things away because those are things of the old man. And we leave them in the grave. We don't go back and dig them up later. We continue to let them stay buried because this is what God is pleased with. He says in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Now, looking to Jesus, our greatest example, the very one that did not short back, the very one that did not give up, the very one that did not say, you are talking about me, so therefore I'm going to talk about you. No, when Jesus talked about people, he talked about them for a reason. And that reason was for them to look at themselves. You stiff-necked. You brood of vipers. He was trying to get them to realize that they wasn't not doing what's right. They thought they were better than somebody else. See, in this race, we're not any better than the next man. Well, again, we're all in this thing together. And we're looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. So let's focus. Let's focus. You know, I go back and I think about Paul. As Paul said, you be imitators of me as I am imitating Christ.
Amen.
So let's focus on Jesus. You know, again, we can always say, I want my life to be like his life. I want my marriage to be like their marriage. I want the job that he has, and I want to be able to perform it like he's performing it. And those individuals that this person or that person is looking at should be a person that says, I am doing this because I am a child of God. So let's focus. Let's focus. We run to obtain a goal. That's why you run. You run to obtain your goal. You know, we all should have the same goal this morning. If you're here and you're worshiping God, your goal should be heaven. That's your goal. And ask yourself, why are you here? Are you here because somebody made you come? And if you're a child and you're here with your parents or your grandparents, no choice. No choice. You're just being obedient unto your parents, doing what is right before God. But run to obtain your goal. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse is 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. All the runners, you know, we're here at the starting line. On your mark, get set, go. Do y'all remember this? On your mark, get set, ready, go. Do y'all remember that? They took that ready out for some reason or another. Let me tell you why they took it out. If this is the reason, this is my thoughts on it. They took it out because when you got down there, you should have already been ready. You know, you got some that want to jump the gun. You know, you go when that gun is fired, and when it's two shots, that means somebody jumped. See, you can't run this Christian race without being qualified. You cannot run this Christian race without being obedient unto the Father, listening to what the Word says, and becoming one of God's children. Now, once you enter the race, you don't stop running. You keep on running. You know, you don't have to worry about looking behind you. Whoever's behind you, let them stay there. Look ahead of you. Don't worry about who's on side of you. Keep looking forward, because that is what God wants us to do. Keep looking forward. Again, listen to the last part of that. So run that you may obtain it. The prize. Our prize, our goal is heaven. Let us do what's right. Run with a purpose. Run with a purpose. Why are you running? I remember coming home one day and I was moving pretty fast. And my daddy would always, you know, tell us, you know, if this happened to you, let me know. If that happened to you, let me know. And this one particular day, he was sitting outside with one of the neighbors, and I come running home. He said, "What's wrong? Is somebody chasing you?" If I would have said yes, you know what he would have probably told me to do? You need to go back and you need to meet them. Don't run from them. But we need to run with a purpose. And that purpose need to be according to the will of God. That we never quit running, and we know what our goal is. We know why we're running. We don't quit. We keep going. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, starting with the 12th verse, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now can I change you? Can I live your life for you? Can I stand before the throne on that great day for you? No. Paul says here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Nobody can make you study God's word. You have to study on your own. You have to have a will to study his word, a want to study his word. You know, those people that say, "You know, every time I pick up the word of God, it puts me to sleep." That should not be. We should study with a purpose. Amen. You know, I'm so tired, but I can't go to sleep, so let me start reading God's word. Something's wrong. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like that person that comes home after work and says, "You know, I had such a stressful day. Let me get me a little wine in order to soothe me." You get you a little wine to do what? To get you drunk. And that should not be. So we need to understand that when we, you know, want to look at God's word, we should be alert. Now, I know that, you know, some of you do go to sleep when you're reading because you know, you like to read and you're really into God's word. And I'm not going to condemn everybody. But some of you need to be condemned. If that's the only time that you study is when you're so tired and you want to study his word or read his word in order to go to sleep. Listen to what he says in verse 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." For his good pleasure. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Now, you're running according to the will of God. He says you're going to shine as lights in the world. Somebody is looking at you right now. Somebody is, you know, waiting on you to come back home so that they can tell you what time you left and what time you came back. Somebody's looking. "Continue to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." They can tell you what you had on when you left. They can tell you what you had on when you came back. Because they're looking. And instead of looking, they should be joining. Do you understand that? So invite that neighbor to come to worship God with you. Invite that neighbor to come to study God's word with you. Invite that neighbor to sit down with you to go through God's word so they can enter this race. He says in verse 16, "Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." Paul was an example to a whole lot of people. Paul is an example to us today.
Amen.
Who are you an example to? What are you doing? Run with a purpose. Not in vain. Not in vain. But run with a purpose. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. You know, again, those individuals that have ran track, those individuals that run track, if you've never been stepped on before, consider yourself pretty fortunate. And the reason I say that is because those track shoes got those little spikes on the bottom of them. If somebody ever run up on you, you know that you've been ran up on. And it hurts. But I want us to know that as a child of God, we need to stay in our lane. We need to be, you know, when we enter this race, we're entering this race in order to do the things that are pleasing and acceptable to God. So we stay in our lane. We don't let anybody hinder us. You're in a race and you're running around a track. If you know, and it's only one lap around, they say everybody got to stay in their lane. Stay in your lane. Don't leave the track. Stay on the track. Or you're in a boxing ring. If you step out of the ring, you're disqualified. Or wrestling, you step out of the ring, you're disqualified. Or you lose a point. Whatever. When we listen to other people while we're in this Christian race and they're telling us to do something that's not in the Word of God, we're out of our lane. We are out of our lane and we need to get back in it as quick as we can. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, you were running well. Who hindered you? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You were running well. You know, a lot of times we just don't understand. The reason we don't understand is because we don't want to understand. We don't put forth the effort to understand. We want to listen to everything that everybody else says except for what God says. That should not be. That should not be. You were running well. You know, we have so many people that have given up on God. They're giving up on God because they believe this, that when they come to worship God, it should be to satisfy themselves. We don't have any instrument of music here. When we come to praise God, we praise Him with the fruit of our lips.
Amen.
We make melody within our hearts.
Amen.
Now, if you've never been to a concert before, you haven't missed anything. I just want to say that right now. Because a lot of times when you go to concerts, you can't even hear yourself think. The music is so loud. You know, Brother Glenn came up earlier. You know, first somebody said, you need to come in the back. The speakers wasn't working or whatever. I have no idea what the real problem was. But he came up here to make sure that the mic was on up here. I could hear myself. Could y'all hear me? I know some of y'all going to say yes and some of y'all going to say no, but that's okay too. But I want you to know this, that when music is playing, you know what we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to talk louder. And if you ever been to a party before and the music was playing, I want you to just think for a minute how loud you had to talk in order for others to hear you. When we sing praises to God, we don't have to try to out-sing the music because there should not be any music. Nowhere in the New Testament do you find physical instruments of music mentioned. Nowhere in the New Testament. I have to say that because somebody wants to say, well, they say harps are in heaven. We're not in heaven. We're down here up on this earth. We don't come together to make ourselves feel good and do what we want to in worship. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We look at how they worshiped in the New Testament in the first century. That's how we pattern our worship. But Glenn was talking about, you know, how often we take the communion upon the first day of the week. He talked about what we're supposed to do when we take the communion. What are we supposed to take? We're supposed to take the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. You don't like the unleavened bread, so you want to substitute it? That's not in God's word. You don't like grape juice, so therefore you want to have some fermented wine? That is not in God's word.
You do what God's word says in order to be pleasing to him. This is his race. And we run it according to his rules. Can't do it the way you want to do it and think he's going to be pleased with that. So again, do not allow someone to hinder you. Do not allow someone to tell you he don't know what he's talking about when he's giving you Bible. That's the most ridiculous thing that someone could do. Is tell you, that's what it says in God's word, but that doesn't mean that you have to do it. Well, if you want to go to heaven, you have to do it. If you want to finish this race and get the prize, you have to do it. You know, there should be, and there is, a time limit to everything. You know when the time is going to be up for us to run this race again? We're going to die one day. I remember being corrected on several occasions that if I die, the person will say, no, ain't no if, you're going to die. And he's absolutely right. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. How are we going to be judged? We're going to be judged according to how we have run this race. How we have done the things that God has told us to do. Not what man says, but what God has said. How are you running? Are you running to have eternal salvation? Is that why you're running? You remember me telling you about the different color ribbons? You know, the only ones I was always interested in was blue, red, and white. That was all I was ever interested in. And now we have, again, we had these, you know, 40 years ago. And maybe they had them before that. I'm pretty sure they did. Where they had yellow ribbons, pink ribbons, you know, baby blue ribbons, all these other different kinds, consolation prizes. That's all they were, consolation prizes. You go home and you're excited, Mama, Daddy, look, I won a ribbon. And Mom and Dad is hoping that it's a blue ribbon or a red ribbon or a white ribbon, but yet you come in with a pink ribbon. I believe pink was fifth place. Somebody tell me yes or no. Y'all don't know either because that wasn't what y'all was interested in. We should not worry about the colors. We should be worried about the crown that we're going to receive in the end. Because we have done what God wanted us to do. There's only two places where you can spend your eternity. Heaven or hell. You either finish or you don't finish. How are you running this morning? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse is 7. 2 Timothy 4 and the verse is 7. Let's start with verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Not a faith. But I have kept the faith. I've done what I was supposed to do. This is what Paul is saying right here. Now, he says, I've fought a good fight. So we're in a fight right now. If you mess around and get knocked out, shame on you. You got to know how to duck and you got to know how to dodge, but you got to know how to keep moving forward too. Take the fight to them. Don't let them bring the fight to you. Don't let them catch you off guard. You remember the times where they say, you know, expect it when you least expect it. That's us. We have to expect it when we least expect it. Do you know when you're going to die? Do you know when Christ is coming back? You know, a lot of times we say, I can't see the finish line. Oh, you're going to see it. And hopefully when you do see it, that you're ready to cross it. Amen. And be that person that God wants you to be. Paul, again, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I kept the faith. Henceforth, listen what he says now, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. See, we're in this thing together, but we're in it separately. We have to fight. We have to run. And we have to finish the race. Amen. And we finish it with our heads held high. Yeah, we're gonna have some bumps and some bruises, but we're gonna finish this race. Because this body is not gonna be able to get into heaven. Flesh and blood will not enter there, but our spirit will. The soul that we have is going to be judged on that day. And it's either going to burn in hell or it's going to be glorified before the Father on that great day. How are you going to fare? How are you going to fare? You can answer that question right now for yourself, because you know what you've done. You know what you're doing. The next man may not, but you know. God knows.
Amen.
If you die right now, will you go to paradise or will you go to torment? The rich man didn't know that he was going to die, but he found himself in torment. Lazarus didn't realize that it was his time to die, but he found himself in paradise. Where will you find yourself? If Jesus comes back right now, will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? So you don't necessarily have to go to Hades and Rim. But if he comes back right now, that place right there is going to be emptied out. Heaven and hell would only be left. You know, you got some people that are telling people right now, Mama is in heaven. Mama is not in heaven. Some people are saying right now that Daddy is in hell. Daddy is not in hell. Now, they may be in a place where it may feel like heaven or it may feel like hell, but they're not there yet. The day is coming where individuals will be judged and they will go to either or, heaven or hell. Which would be your home? If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God and you die, hell would be your home. If you're here this morning, you are a child of God and you're doing what is right before God, heaven would be your home. Heaven will be your home. If you're not a child of God, why not become one? Why not come forth and put Christ on through the watery grave of baptism? Rising to walk a newness of life. Entering this great event. The greatest event that has ever been placed before man that you may sign up for. And once you sign up for it, don't turn back. But stay in this race until the very end. Fight the good fight. Run like you've never ran before. Oh, he's a new person. Oh, she's a new person. Yes, because they have God on their side. If you're here and you're straight away from the fold, we're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults before him who's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.